essential. Absolutely essential. I wonder what comes to your mind when you think of the word essential. And I had a thought I would try and give a picture of what is essential. So I typed it into a search engine to see if I could find a picture of essential. And it came up with a picture for me of a leather hold all. That's essential because you have to put your essentials in it. Urban Ears headphones. Comfortable, noise cancelling. These are an absolute must for the plane. I need an iPhone case, two leathers, two colours, double the style. I need a small pouch with Q-tips. I need some eye cream midnight recovery concentrate. Mandarin hand lotion. You see, I meet people I know quite often in the airport, and you don't want to shake hands with hard, cracked hands. Toothbrush, toothpaste, Altoid smalls. You never know when you're going to need fresh breath. And various travel containers housing facial lotion, cologne, hair gel. Essentials. So that's what essentials is, according to the search engine. According to John Stott, the essentials for a living church, and an excellent book which I can recommend, what exactly is a living church? What are the essentials of a church? And he puts them down as worship, evangelism, ministry, fellowship, preaching, generosity, and impact. Nice biblical number, isn't it? These are the things that are essential in the church. They are, if you like, what the church is. And we've got a series we've been looking at, what the church is and where the church is. We just heard this morning the church is in Varna in Bulgaria as well as here. And when the church is, and that's an interesting one because it's not just now, it has been since the day of Pentecost, and it will be. But my job today is to talk about how the church should work. The how of the church. And there are various things in the Bible which are like pictures for us of the church. For example, there's the church is the bride of Christ. The church is Christ's bride, the one he died for, the one he loved so much, and the one who loves him back. Lots of pictures, but I have chosen to use something more akin to a vehicle. If the church was a vehicle, how does it work? What if you look under the bonnet and you figure out how it works, what is it made of? And in Acts chapter 2, and verse 42, Acts chapter 2 tells about the beginning of the church, the day of Pentecost, when the church, we regard it as having come into birth that day. And one of the very first things that those people did was they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And so, if you like, the headlights of the church, the ones that show us what we're doing and why we're doing it and what's important and bring light out of darkness, the headlights of the church and how that works is teaching about the Bible. And what I just showed you earlier, he describes as ministry, that we, as a church, how it works is we make sure that we know where we're going, we get the headlights working, we can see where we're supposed to be going, we can see what where we're not supposed to be going, just as importantly. And Psalm 119, 105, be a familiar verse to many of you, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light on my path. And so one of the church's important things of the way it works is it focuses on the teaching of the truth. The teaching of the truth. We need to know the truth. We need to be continually reminded of it. It was the first thing the church did. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. And being a modern vehicle, of course, the church needs a sat-nav. What is the church's sat-nav? How does that work? Well, it is the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14 tell us a little bit about what Paul wrote to Timothy when he was describing what should be important in the church. And he says this: "What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." And he was saying to Timothy, who had a position of leadership in the church, you need to make sure that the teaching, that good deposit, the teaching that you heard, that you pass it on, that you carry on the teaching, because that's what's going to guide us and tell us where we're going to go. We need that. That's how the church works. The church needs to be Bible-based. The church needs to be Christ-centered. And the way we do that is understanding the Bible and understanding and reading and studying and learning about who Jesus is. And so that we can say, what would Jesus do, from a position of knowledge, of knowing what Jesus would do? So, how does the church work? It has a sat-nav, it's the Bible. It tells us the principles, the way to go. But I want to spend most of my time this morning describing the steering. The steering. And if someone could go on to the next slide, it should say the steering. And it should have a picture of a car on it. There we go. And this comes from Matthew chapter 18. And I'd like to read some of the verses out of this, because this is one of the few times in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, that the word church is actually mentioned. And it teaches us some very important principles. So I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 18 and starting at 15. It's on page 985. If you're using the Bibles in the church, page 985, Matthew chapter 18, and looking at verse 15 to 20. Matthew 18, 15 to 20, page 985. "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." Where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. And that's how I believe God wants the church to be steered. How does it work? It works where two or three, or a whole church, where more than one, gather together in my name. That's what a church is, gathering together in the name of Jesus. There am I with them. And the verses before that say that what you decide then, whatever you bind on earth, whatever you loose on earth, what you decide when you gather in my name is the way that the church is going to be steered. That we understand the will of Jesus, what he wants us to do. When we gather together in the name of Jesus, he is with us and helps us to decide. So if you like, that's the how of steering the church. That's how the church is steered. And then you think, well, so who is it who does this deciding? And the way that we look at it in this church is, well, it would be the people who are committed to the church, the people who want to belong to the church, the people who have decided, I'm going to be a member of this church. They're the ones who are going to take the most interest in knowing and asking God, what is the way that we should go? How should we steer through these next things that we need to do? Who decides? The members, the committed core. And then you could say, well, okay then, who decides who's a member or not? And the way that we do it in this church is we say, well, if you have been baptized, so you have decided publicly that you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to commit your way to Jesus, then you're baptized, then you can be a member of the church. And if you're part of the member of the church, you're part of the steering. That's how the church works. And then the verses that I read before that are talking about how these members work together. Because we need to be in agreement. We need to be listening to each other. We need to be working together as a team. And we're not going to be working together as a team if we've all got a grudge against each other. So it says, if your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. Try and sort it out between the two of you. Don't make a big deal of it, if at all possible. And then maybe if that doesn't work, then maybe take one or at the most two other people along with you and just try and persuade them quietly. And only then, if you've tried all of that, would you make a big deal about it and take it to the church. We're trying to sort these things out in the best way possible, in the least disruptive way as possible, because we want to be good steerers. We want to work together in the steering of the church. That's part of the way the church works. If you can move me forward again, David, please. What about the engine? Well, we're all the engine. We're all part of it. We're all helping the church to move forward. It's not that we have what somebody's described a game of football as. There are 22 people who need a rest, running around doing all the work, while 22,000 who could do with some exercise are watching them. In the church, the engine, if you like, how does the church work? The engine is that we all work together. So Ephesians chapter 4 puts it like this. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So it describes a church which is made up of lots of different pieces. The different pieces do slightly different things. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. But all of those things that he describes there that you might describe as leadership are not all of it, because all the purpose of that is, if you like, to feed and equip the people who are going to peddle, because it's going to equip the church and the whole church as a whole body. Everybody is peddling, everybody is moving this car, this vehicle, the church, forward. And in 1 Corinthians 14:26, we have a little suggestion from Paul that he wrote to the Corinthians. Now, we had a reading earlier from 1 Corinthians, and Andy pointed out it was really quite dysfunctional. He said, you've got some people trying to follow Paul, and some people trying to follow Peter, and some people trying to follow Apollos, and some people saying, but I follow Jesus, and you're all pulling in different directions, and you need to be all pulling in the same direction. And to a certain extent, what we have in the Bible is a Haynes repair manual about churches that have gone wrong and letters that have been written to tell them how to do it better. And so one of the things that Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26, he says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. That's on page 1155, 1155. And so he's painting a picture here of a church which everyone does something in it. When you come together, so the church comes together, it meets. It doesn't just sort of say, well, I'm a Christian and I belong and I occasionally connect up to the church's website. When you come together, each of you, everyone comes in to contribute to the worship. Each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. You use the different things that you've got, that you're good at, and you bring them into the church and you do your bit of peddling, if you like, in the particular bit that you're good at. And everything must be done so that the church may be built up. And you could say that if everyone isn't doing that, then the church won't be built up. So everyone and everything must be done so that the church may be built up. And then the suspension, this church vehicle, the suspension. How does that work? Well, some of you may have been watching rugby recently, and a rugby team is supporting each other, particularly the hooker in the middle of that picture there. His weight is being carried by other people so that he can do the all-important bit of getting the ball and getting it onto his side of the team. Philippians puts it this way: make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. I heard on the TV this week about the rugby team, and they were saying, you know, these New Zealand guys, they're going to be difficult to beat. And they have this philosophy of sweeping the sheds. Sweeping the sheds apparently means that the whole team gets involved in everything to do with the team. So they don't have somebody saying, well, you know, I'm just too important in this team, I can't take a turn in sweeping the sheds. All of them take turns at everything that needs to be done for the team. And that is the way the team works. And they said, this New Zealand team, they've been doing that, and they really are a team. They all work together. And because they all work together, they've been unbeaten for years and years on their home territory. We, in the church, are to be a team. Now, when I was at school, they used to put things up on the notice board about the team, and they used to have the A team, and they used to have the B team, and I wasn't even in the B team. In church, there is no B team. You are all in the A team. You are all on the team. God's plan for the world is his church. And there is no plan B. There is no team B. We are all in the same team, and we're all called to suspend and get along with each other and help each other as a team to be the church. That's how this vehicle works. So, how do you pay your part in the body? And how do you let the body support you? What is the fuel of the church? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us what the fuel is, and that's the chapter just before the bit that had the verse that I read out earlier. The fuel of the church is love. And that's right in the centre. We'll be looking a bit later in the year at 1 Corinthians in more detail. And 1 Corinthians 13 comes in the middle of lots of things that he says about how worship should be led. What's the right role for men and women? Who should speak? Who should be silent? And all those things. And in the middle, he says, like the centre of a sandwich, is love. So, how should the church work? I've got a visual illustration here about how the church should work. And if I could have the next slide,
And it talks about our believing. The next slide talks about what we believe in. And that's the first bullet of the next slide, David. Sorry, my clicker isn't working. There we go. And that's like this axle, if you like, that the wheel goes on, that steers us. That's what we believe in. We, as a church, are looking to what we need to do, where we need to go, and we're looking to God for that. We're looking for God to guide us and lead us what we believe in. So that's one dimension. Another dimension is belonging. And that's like the spokes, that we, in the church, we're all connected together to the centre. We're all part of the local church. We're all part of the universal church. We're all connected into the middle by these spokes. And the next dimension is the rim. We're all connected to each other, a bit like we showed that picture of the rugby team where they're all holding each other and supporting. So they're all connected around. So sharing together, sharing the load, helping each other and sharing. And then the fourth dimension is the rubber hits the road. We actually serve Christ in the world. So it's not all about us. It's about us serving. And we've been singing in the songs that we've sung this morning about serving Christ. So we've got four different dimensions. We are connected to God's will and wanting to follow God's will. We are connected as a body all together to the same centre. We support each other and share in the rim together. And we serve outward into the world, serve God's purposes. And as we do that, I've got a little picture with red arrows and blue arrows. And the red arrows show coming in closer and closer. As we grow as individuals and join closer and closer into the church, that's the red arrows going in towards the middle. The closer to the middle we get and the more involved we get, the more impact we can have in serving, which is the blue arrow going outward, going in the opposite direction. So if I go through it very, very practically, how does the church work? And so first of all, believing. We join together in worship. The church is the bride of Christ. Like every bride, the bride simply adores the groom. The church is joining in worship. We, as the bride of Christ, worship Christ. And we join together in worship. And that's the first part of our believing as we go forward as a church. The second part is part of our belonging, of our being connected in together. And that is where we are part of a congregation. We come together, we meet, we perhaps sit right at the back, we perhaps sit right at the front, wherever, we're part of the congregation. We belong in that sense to what goes on a Sunday morning, what goes on a Sunday evening. The first bit of belonging. And then in sharing, how can we help each other? How can we share with each other? And I think the first things that we can do are quite simple. We can help somebody else, like Andy asked me to, point people to the right place in the Sunday club. We can help if we see some of the kids have left one of the news sheets and left it on the floor. We can pick that up and tidy it. We can help one another. We can help by sharing. And then how do we... Let me just get the next one right. How do we serve? How do we serve? How do we impact the world outside? Now, the very simplest way we can do that in this church is by just giving some money. You will find that we have these little envelopes. You can say that you want to, where you want the money to go. If you don't say where you want the money to go and it goes into the general pot, we always take some money out of that 20% out of that, 20 pence in every pound we take out of that, and we give it outside the church to something else that's going on outside the church. So that's the simplest way that we can serve, that we can help make a difference, that the rubber hits the road. And then as we go on, we can add more things in each of those dimensions. So in believing and making sure that we're being steered by God, we're being Bible-based and Christ-centered, we can learn. We can learn more in our personal Bible reading. Out in the entrance area, we have lots and lots of stuff. We also have some people in this church who are very, very tidy-minded. And what they've done is they've tidied up all the bits of paper and put them into a little rack that I can see on the left-hand side when I'm looking out here. All tidied up, which has a bit of a disadvantage. It means maybe you don't notice them. But bright yellow piece of paper you will find in the foyer, in the tidy bit. And it is to encourage us to read the New Testament in 1 year. To read the whole of the New Testament, and it gives you a reading for every day of the year. And you read that, a very short amount, and you can read the whole New Testament in 1 year. And it's quite easy, because they're small readings, if you miss a bit, to catch up again and get back on track. So we can learn by personal Bible reading. We can learn by being involved in community Bible study that meets here on a Monday. And if you're interested in that, there's some things out in the notice area that you probably walk past all the time that will tell you about that. So that's how we can move forward in believing, by learning. We can move forward in belonging and connecting into the middle by being part of a small group. So we were just invited, if you're not involved in a small group, there's a Windsor small group that meets. There's other groups, and on the right-hand side as you go out of the church, there's a map showing you something about the small groups. We can be involved in small groups, home groups, CBSI, men's groups, ladies' recharge, all sorts of things going on. Just have a look at what's going on in the notice sheet. There's ways to belong a bit more. And then as we share, as we support one another around the rim, share the load within the church and keep each other performing, we can use our gifts. Now, maybe you're a very welcoming person and you can use your gifts to welcome people into our church. Maybe you're good at writing. There are ways to serve by writing. Maybe you're good with numbers. Maybe you're good with music. Lots of ways in which we can get involved in sharing within the life of the church inside the doors. And then if you're interested in serving outside, one of the things that we mentioned already and we prayed for is Slough Run. Slough Run is giving sandwiches and soup to people who are homeless and don't have enough food. That's happening this afternoon. It happens every few weeks. We can be involved in serving, and that's part of our ministry of church. That's how it works. Prayer. If we're going to be connected to God and knowing what his will is for us, get involved in prayer. We had a half day of prayer yesterday. We have Power Hour, first Saturday of the month, a prayer meeting on a Saturday morning. There's always an advert for it in here if you can't remember the exact dates. There's sometimes days when we have a whole day of prayer and fasting. There's a Tuesday prayer meeting, a Tuesday lunchtime in the room just down here in the church. Then, to be part of belonging to our church, there is more to getting together and being part of this body than just a Sunday service, Sunday morning or Sunday evening, because sometimes we have special events. This year we're going to have a Christingle service coming up. We have other times when we meet together with other churches. There are ways to be involved in belonging to a wider body and to more than just a Sunday. Sharing, we can share in the life of the church by giving. And I would encourage you, if you've not done this before, to think about giving not just to put into the blue bag, but to think about giving with gift aid. And in the tidy bit, at the entrance area, you will find something called a giving pack, and it tells you all about gift aid. That little picture there is just to remind you that if you use gift aid, for every 20 quid that you put in, the church actually gets more than £25. Due to the fact that if you're a taxpayer, the church can claim back the tax that you already paid. So it really is worth it to the church, and please do make the effort to fill in just a few details about yourself. It's just your name and address and signature. It really isn't complicated. We don't need a huge long form. It's quite a simple one. Please do gift aid, and that helps us. And then, how do we serve? One of the ways we serve the world is by proclaiming the message of Jesus. Yes, people need sandwiches. The Bible says man doesn't live by bread alone. People need more than sandwiches and soup. They need hope. People need Jesus. And we need to spread the word. And that's part of what it means to be a church and making a difference in the world. So if we're believing and we're connecting to Jesus and wanting to do what he does, want to get involved, then one way to do that is to be baptized. It's another step which speaks for itself. One way to get involved in belonging is to be a church member. Actually, in the tidy area, there's a little form about being a church member. It's all there, part of the body of Christ, part of deciding the direction and the steering of the church, part of the voting for the leaders in the church. And in our service to each other, in our sharing with each other, we can take a lead. There's plenty of things that we can be involved in prayer ministry, in visiting, in the organising of church activities, in being a deacon or an elder and serving in that way in the church. And then serving in the wider world, well, eventually it should become a lifestyle for us. That it's not just a one-off event that occasionally we do this or occasionally we do that for the experience. We do it as part of our lifestyle. So, in summary, believing, belonging, sharing and serving, the different dimensions of how the church works. The red arrows go from just being interested to being part of the church. From being, if you like, a fan to being a diehard supporter. And the blue arrow shows that the more closely we get involved in the church, the more we can make a difference and serve others in the church and serve the world outside. That's how the church should work.